chapter 4, 1 through 11, talking about the Sabbath rest. So we're looking at this to get a better understanding of, you know, when the Bible talks about this Sabbath rest, what is that really all about? And the writer here is actually mentioned several different kinds of rest or Sabbath rest in here. So just real quickly, by way of review, we need to go back over a couple of things, especially for those of you who weren't able to be with us last week to know what we're talking about here. And first of all, is just trying to clear up the confusion that exists with a lot of folks about this whole concept of a Sabbath rest. And by the way, before we get into that, I do want to mention that it's great to have Judy and Nancy back with us safely from Germany. And so we hope that y'all had a great trip. And so, all right. We talk about a lot of the misunderstandings that there are that surround this concept and idea of a Sabbath rest and the Sabbath, and even the whole concept of worshiping on the Sabbath and are we keep the Sabbath and all of those kinds of questions. What we need to understand, first of all, is that the Hebrew word for rested, okay, really is the origin of the noun Sabbath, okay? If we go back to what I mentioned to you last time, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3 is where the whole concept of the Sabbath is first mentioned. It tells us there, God created the world in six days, and then on the seventh day, he rested, okay? Now, if you go over to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, there where it quotes the first half of Genesis chapter 3, but instead it substitutes the word Sabbath for seventh. Okay, and that's where the two words really get connected, joined together, resting and Sabbath, okay? But typically people tend to look at the Sabbath as just focusing on the seventh day, when the word originally and really means to rest. Mm-hmm. Okay? And there's all these questions and issues that people bring up in terms of, you know, are we still supposed to be keeping the Sabbath today? And there's, of course, a lot of religious groups today that do keep the Sabbath. You know, they feel like that they need to be, you know, worshiping on the Sabbath and so forth, which is, again, a misunderstanding of that. One of the things that we have to keep in mind is when you talk about the Sabbath, as it pertains to the old law, and we'll go into this a little bit deeper in just a few minutes, but the Sabbath laws, okay, notice that I'm saying laws, plural, rather than law, singular, because there are a lot of laws concerning the Sabbath, and there's a lot more involved in keeping the Sabbath, as people talk about, than just not picking up sticks and so forth. In other words, working on the seventh day, which for them back then was Saturday, okay? The seventh day of the week. There's a lot more involved in it. There are all kinds of different requirements of the law that went along with keeping the Sabbath, and that included certain sacrifices that needed to be made and so forth. So here's the thing. When people today talk about keeping the Sabbath, generally, what are they talking about? Worshiping on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
They're not talking about all of the other Sabbath laws, and you talk to them about, well, so if you're keeping the Sabbath, and you insist that we are to keep the Sabbath, then are you still doing all the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices that were required under the law when it comes to keeping the Sabbath?
Amen.
And if you ask them that, then they'll give you this look like, what are you talking about? You see? Because again, what we have to understand is there's a whole lot more involved in keeping the Sabbath than just not working. All right? And of course, what we learn from the scriptures is what? If you violate one part of the law,
you violate
the whole thing, don't you?
Yeah.
And so you can't keep part of the Sabbath law and say, we're keeping the Sabbath. You're going to keep all of it or none of it.
Amen.
You say, it doesn't, you can't just pick and choose and say, well, we're just going to keep the part that has to do with not doing any work on Saturday, or we're just going to keep the part of worshiping on Saturday. It doesn't work that way. Okay? You got to keep all of it or none of it. Because if you violate one part of it, you violate all of it. Okay? So again, there's a lot of confusion about what this whole issue of the Sabbath is. And I think that's one of the main reasons that the writer includes this, these statements about the Sabbath and the Sabbath rest. Okay, and that's his emphasis, is the Sabbath rest. For his readers then in the first century, again, who were what kind of people? Who was he writing to?
The Jews,
okay? Jews. People who had the law and were following the law, you know, and so forth, and very familiar with the law. So he's addressing it to them. He's addressing it to us also to make sure that we understand when he talks about a Sabbath rest, what is that all about? And what does it have to do with us today? Okay? So, last time we started talking about the creation rest. Okay? If you look in Hebrews 4 and verse 4, he says, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And so there it's easy to understand he's talking about the creation rest. All right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that we said about that last time was that, again, needing to understand what this word means here, okay? Again, when we think of rest, we typically think of not doing any work, right? Well, we're kind of tired, so we got to take a break. Well, that's not what it means here. It means basically a cessation of the work. In other words, the work ended. It was completed. It was brought to its completion, so there was no more need for any more work to be done. So that's the reason God rested from the work of creation. It wasn't because God got tired after 6 days, we said last week. Okay? He rested, being that he ceased from creating because everything that needed to be created was created at that time. Okay? But the other thing that we said about that was that though God rested from the work of creation, and keep in mind, we mentioned this last time, you know, as you read the narrative, and if you go from Genesis chapter 2, where God created everything, and Genesis chapter 3 tells us about what? What's Genesis 3 about? Anybody remember? It's the fall of man. Okay, so if you read the narrative, then it almost like, you know, on the seventh day God rested, and then on the eighth day, Satan came in the garden and he tempted Adam and Eve and they sinned. Well, no, it's not likely that that's what happened, okay? We don't know how much time took place from the time that God completed his creation and the time that Satan came into the garden and tempted Eve and the sin and so forth. But there's some time there. And what we saw from that last week is saying that, yes, God had rested from the work of creation, but when sin came into the world, God began working again, didn't he? And what was his work involved at that point? Yeah, it was the redemption or the salvation of mankind, to redeem man to himself. He began working on that, okay? And he's still working on that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, again, one of the things that we said, y'all come on in. Come on in. Did y'all get your tickets at the door? No. Come on in. Come on in the house. And we have a couple of classes for the younger ones here. How old are y'all? 15. 11. Chuck, will you take them to class for where they are? Y'all are welcome to stay here if you're if you want, but we got classes for y'all. All right, now before we move on, I'll tell who you are.
I'm Jean.
Jean.
It's my wife, Jacinta.
Jacinta?
We're from Richmond.
From Richmond, great. Good to have you here with us. All right, now we're going to go around and have everybody tell their names, and then we're going to see how well you know this teacher. It's great to have you here. We're studying Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 4. Okay, so one of the things that we were talking about is that God began, he rested from the work of creation, he began the work of redemption when sin came into the world, and in a sense, God rested from the work of redemption, that initial redemption, when Jesus died on the cross, right? And when he rose again from the dead, one of the things that Jesus said on the cross was what? It is finished. Okay? What was finished? The work of redemption was finished. Okay? That was completed. So, but is God still working on our behalf towards our redemption? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay? So in that regard, God has not rested from his work of redemption.
No.
Okay? He rested that part. In other words, you understand the definition of this word as it's used here. That part was completed. So that's what it means. And when he rested, it was brought to its completion. And then there's another part of the work that needs to go on. That part, God will rest. Okay, from that work, when? At what point? Yeah, when Jesus returns again,
yeah,
we'll right?
Come back.
Then God will rest. In other words, that work will cease. There will be no more need for any of that work to continue on because it is it will be completed. So when the writer in verse 4 is talking about the word rest, and he's referring back to the creation Sabbath or rest, okay, he's talking about a cessation of the work. It's completed. There's no more work to be done concerning that. All right, now, there's also a ceremonial rest, okay? A ceremonial rest or keeping of the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Turn over there. I'll do that by the time I shoot. All right, let me get somebody to read for us. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Okay, now, God is giving them this command. This is part of what's known as the Ten Commandments, right? So this is part of the law of Moses that God gave to who? To the Israelites where? Mount Sinai. Okay. Now turn over to Exodus 31. Let me get somebody to read verses 12 through 17. Exodus 31, 12 through 17. Speak also to who? The children of Israel. Go ahead, keep reading.
Saying, surely my Sabbath you shall teach. But it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among the sheep. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the Sabbath is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. There is a sign between me and the children of Israel for heaven. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
Okay, now, according to this passage, God made this covenant between himself and who?
The Israelites.
Okay? It was never made with anybody else.
That's true.
Okay? So therefore, who did it apply to?
The Israelites.
Including, by the way, in the text that I think you read the first one, didn't you, Ray?
Yeah.
Including it, it talked about, you know, over in Exodus 20, you know, not only them, but their sons and their daughters and their servants and who else? Any strangers. Okay? So anybody that came in amongst them, it applied to them. Okay? But it did not apply to anyone else outside of them.
That's
right. All right. Now, it's really important that we understand that because the Sabbath law, as people refer to today, look at it, was part of the covenant that existed only between God and the Israelites. Okay? It was not part of God's moral law. Okay? If it were part of God's moral law, then it would still be enforced today.
Amen.
All right? Geraldine?
So this means, like, basically, it's only like 5 or 10% jobs are closed on the Sunday. And that
all jobs right? Well, no, not really. This doesn't really have anything to do with jobs on Sunday.
But, okay, how are you supposed to,
yes,
God said you should rest on
Sunday
and you're
a
worker, so.
But he didn't say that. That's part of the confusion that people have today. All right, hang with me a second, all right? Hang with me a second. First of all, we need to understand, okay, this law was only given to the Israelites as a covenant between God and Israel.
Amen.
It never was given to anybody else. And again, this is really important. When was this law given? It was given on Mount Sinai, right? Now, in terms of Old Testament history, where does this fall in terms of relationship to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? It wasn't before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was
after.
So therefore, and there's no record in the Bible that the patriarchs had any kind of Sabbath law to keep. Sinai came after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, it was Jacob's sons, his direct descendants, that made up the 12 tribes of Israel that went to Egypt to begin with. Okay? So this law was given to the Israelites after they became the Israelite nation. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob knew nothing. Noah knew nothing of a Sabbath keeping, a Sabbath rest. Okay? As far as anything that the Bible indicates.
Amen.
There's nothing that tells us that they practiced the Sabbath or that they kept the Sabbath or what have you. They may have, we're just not told that they did. Okay, Wes? Right.
Then came all this.
So yeah.
They didn't have to have a law because he was giving them direct words.
Right.
Telling them exactly what, you know, what he was doing. They definitely obeyed.
Yes, they did. But here's an interesting thing about this, though. Though they were never under the Sabbath laws, okay? When God gave these Sabbath laws, and as we mentioned earlier, it's not just one law here, there's a whole group of Sabbath laws as part of the law of Moses. When God gave those to the Israelite people at Mount Sinai, what event did he go back to, you say, in putting this Sabbath rest together? What did it say here?
Creation.
To creation. He went all the way back to creation, which was before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right?
Right.
Why is that significant? Well, be simply because, again, it shows the peculiarity of the law of Moses and how it only applied to one group of people, and that were the Israelites.
Amen.
Okay? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the patriarchs lived after God created, obviously, the world, right? But they were not under any, as far as the Bible indicates, nothing that tells us that any of them were under any kind of Sabbath restrictions or Sabbath laws or what have you. It was only at Mount Sinai, when Israel became a nation, and God made this covenant with them. So therefore, it only applies to the Israelites. Everybody got me? Everybody with me? Judy?
I was kind of saying what you just said, you know, Israel was not set apart until that point, really.
Right.
Because God didn't say, you know, these are my people until we brought them out of Egypt.
Right.
And that's when we made the distinction. And I guess that's when the law, when his people was given. Because none of the law, not just about the Sabbath, none of the law was given.
Yeah, none of it existed before. And I think Wes made a perfectly valid point earlier, saying that before then, God dealt with the patriarchs personally and individually, didn't he?
Yeah.
You see? Now he's dealing with a whole nation of people. And so he gives them as a nation. Again, we tend to focus on law, but we need to understand it as covenant. God gave it to them as a covenant of their relationship between them, between God and Israel as a nation, as a people, and how he wanted them to live in relationship with him. Geraldine?
Well, is that old law, is that the reason why it's so many different denominational churches?
I'm not sure. You mean because of this old law?
Because of before. what you were saying before when Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, that
right.
is that the reason why there's so many different denominations before Christ? I may not understand it right.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure I understand what you're saying. Before Christ, there were basically the Israelites who had their relationship with God, okay, Jehovah God, and then there were all the pagans of the world and all the different religions that, you know, that people had that were not worshiping Jehovah. Okay?
Well, that were all the other.
Are you talking about religions today?
Yeah.
Okay, now that's the reason we have so many different religions today is because we got a lot of folks who don't want to follow this. You know, I mean, that's, right. you know, quite basically, they say, well, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but, you know, and they make up their own rules and their own, and they're going to follow that instead of following what the Bible says. If everybody followed this and did what it says, we wouldn't have a one religion. We'd just be Christians. Period.
Amen.
Okay? But that's the reason we have so many churches today, because people are strayed from truth. And Paul talked about that when he wrote Timothy. So the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn aside from the truth and turn to myth. So that's why we have so many different churches, because people don't want to put up with sound doctrine of the Bible. They want to do what they want to do. Okay, but that really doesn't have as much to do with the Sabbath. You know, that's just people disobeying God is really what that is. Okay, all right. So. Nehemiah chapter 9, 13 and 14. Let me get somebody to read that for us, please. Nehemiah 9, 13 and 14. Nehemiah basically is just confirming what we've been saying here. When was the law given? Nehemiah, according to Nehemiah, when did God give it to them? At Mount Sinai. Okay, and he gave it to who? To the Israelites. Again, emphasizing that it was never given to anyone else. One of the things you have to understand is the law of Moses in its entirety, not just the Sabbath laws, but the law of Moses in its entirety never applied to anybody except the Israelites.
Amen.
Okay? They're the only people it was ever given to. They're the only people that it ever applied to. So, here's a question for you. If, and we'll talk about this more in just a minute, as long as we have time here, if the law of Moses were still in effect today, who would it apply to? The Israelites.
Jews.
Okay? The Jews. It wouldn't apply to you and I because it never was given to you and I. It was never given to the Gentiles, and it was never given, and understand this, it was never given to the church.
Amen.
Okay? Ryan?
Like we talked about earlier, God constantly working towards our salvation. We're all part of that plan. Abraham was part of the plan. His children were part of the 12 tribes. 12 tribes put it under that law, prepared for Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, prepared for us for the perfect world to get ready for it. And people don't realize it's all part of that
right.
individual plan to get where we're at.
What we find happen is that people tend to kind of put everything all together. Okay? And God doesn't work that way. God is very specific about certain things, isn't he? Very specific when he gave the law. Alright? And very specific about who it applied to. Now, God never gave that law to the Gentiles. It never applied to the Gentiles unless a Gentile became a proselyte or a convert to Judaism. Then it would apply to them. Alright? But other than that, it did not apply to the Gentiles. Now, having said that, let's make sure we don't misunderstand something. Does is God not the God of the Jews and the Gentiles?
Yeah.
Sure he is. We've talked about that. God's God of everyone, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay? There are certain moral laws that God has given. I mentioned this before. The Sabbath is not one of them. Okay? There are certain moral laws that apply to everyone. Things like thou shalt not kill. Okay? That applies to everyone. That is a part of the moral law. Stealing, killing, lying, things that we would refer to today as laws of moral turpitude. Okay? Those have applied to everyone. Well, you say, well, how do we know that? Well, go back to Cain and Abel. All right? What happened in that story? Cain did what? Killed his brother Abel, and God did what? He punished him, held him accountable, right?
Yeah.
And you talk about the fact that for blood, blood will be accounted for, won't it? So murder is part of God's moral law that applies to everybody. Again, Cain and Abel happened when? Before or after Sinai? Before Sinai. All right, so we know that's part of God's moral law that applies to everybody. But the law of Moses and all the requirements that went with the law of Moses, and you know, I'm glad it doesn't apply to us today, folks, okay? I really am. When was the last time you read through the law of Moses?
I'm telling you.
Okay? All right? All of those laws, including the laws concerning the Sabbath, were only given to the Israelites. Colossians chapter 2. Let me get somebody to read verses 13 through 17. Now again, keep in mind, we're still talking about the ceremonial rest laws, okay? Colossians 2, 13 through 17. Who's got that? So, what is Paul wanting us to understand here? The old law, it applied to who? The Israelites. What happened to it? It was nailed to the cross. It was taken out of the way, he says. What's he talking about here? The written code. That's what he's referring to. Okay? It was taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. Well, again, look at verse 16 to notice one thing specifically that he says here. He's talking about these religious festivals, new moon celebration, or a what?
Sabbath.
A Sabbath day. Okay. So all of that has been taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. Therefore, now again, the law of Moses, when it was given, it applied to who? Only to the Israelites. Who does it apply to now? Nobody. Yeah. It doesn't even apply to the Israelites anymore. Okay, that's something you have to keep in mind. The law of Moses is gone. It is over. Brian, you talked about God's plan. That's part of his plan. It was only intended for the Israelite people for a purpose. And Paul says here it was a purpose to do what? To bring us unto Christ. So when Christ came, and as we were talking about earlier, He died on the cross. Before he died, he said, what? It is finished. Okay? So that part of God's work, which was part of the reason and necessity of the law of Moses, including the laws of the Sabbath, were all finished. That work was done. Yeah. So therefore, the law of Moses, in that sense, has rested. Okay? it has ceased. So it applies to no one today, not even the present day Jews. Okay? Yeah, okay. So you look at the present day Jews and say, well, they're still, you know, trying to keep the law, are they? I don't know of any sect of the Jews, and I'm not an expert on Jews or what have you, but I don't know of any sect of the Jews that still participate in animal sacrifices that were required under the law of Moses. Now, there are certain parts of the law of Moses that they try to keep. Okay, including what? The Sabbath. Okay? But as we said earlier, if you violate one part of the law, then you violate all of it. Okay? And they have, we can't keep these laws anymore, so they're not doing those. They're only keeping the ones that they kind of can keep. Okay? Can you imagine what Peter would be doing today if, they would still be out there trying to sacrifice these animals every day the way they were required to under the law of Moses? They would just be going crazy, wouldn't they? But again, the point here is that those laws don't apply to anybody anymore. So they are keeping a law that is ended. It's an outdated, unusable law. Okay? Now, just to help us make sure, what's time we got? We got a couple more minutes. Just so that, to kind of put this in perspective, make sure we understand this, all right? And this is something you can use to try to help people in studying the Bible with them about these kind of things understand. When folks from Europe first came to this country, all right, and they started living here in America, what laws were the primary laws in this land? Anybody have any idea? How about Indian laws? They were the first inhabitants here, right, as far as we know from history. They lived here long before, the Europeans came, right? And the Indians had laws. Now, if you watch TV, you don't think they do, but they actually did, okay? They weren't complete savages like they're portrayed on TV. They're actually, had laws. And in fact, amongst Indians, if you go through and look at historically, there were laws against, murder among the Indian tribes. You see, they had moral laws just like we do today. Okay, so then the Europeans came in and conquered the country, so to speak, at least, the East Coast part of it anyway. And what law became the law of the land? What? Yeah, the law of England specifically. Okay, the law of England was the law here in America until what event took place? Revolutionary War. Alright, we kicked them out and sent them back across the pond, and we made our own laws, right? Right?
Oh, yeah.
So we got the U.S. Constitution, and we have our own laws, and do we have laws of moral turpitude here today? Yeah, just like the Indians did, just like they were under the common law of England and so forth. So, here's the question. What law are we under today here in America? Yeah, the U.S. Constitution, right? The laws of the United States of America, right? Okay, so if a person commits murder today, like Cain did with his brother way, way back then, what law will he or she be punished under? The Indian law, the English law, or the American law? American law. Why? Because the Indian law is no longer in effect, nor is the English common law in effect today in America. Now, if you do that over in England, what law are you going to get punished under? The law of England, right? Because that's the law that is in effect for them. So, a person violates God's law today, what law is he going to be punished under? The law of Christ, the New Testament law of Christ. Not under the law of Moses, because it doesn't exist anymore, just like the law of the Indians and the law, English common law doesn't exist anymore in this country. The law of Moses doesn't exist anywhere in the world anymore, because it rested or ceased from its work. Okay? So when the writer of Hebrews refers to talking about the ceremonial law and keeping of the Sabbath, okay, understand that, again, that has rested. Okay? Or come to a completion. It's no longer needed, no longer applicable today to anyone, including the Israelites. All right? Everybody swear on that? Everybody? Okay. Out of time. Chuck, finish this up here.
As a Christian, we're under the law of Christ.
Exactly.
Not United States law. Under the law of Christ, we have to give it to the authority in their laws unless they go against the law of Christ.
Right.
Which is, again, if we're continuing to give the persecution.
Right.
So we're under the law of Christ, and that covers us.
Right, absolutely. We are under the law of God, the law of Christ, primarily. But even under the law of Christ, what does it require us to do? To obey the laws of the land. Right? So if we disobey the laws of the land, we're going to answer not only to the civil authorities, but we're also going to answer to God.
To God.
Unless we violate the law of Christ.
If you violate the law of Christ, you're going to answer to God too. Absolutely. So the primary thing for us to keep in mind that is, above everything else, we need to keep what? The law of Christ. Ms. Jean? Well, I think it depends on what you mean by handle it. Certainly, I recognize, and this is something that a lot of Christians fail to recognize, that everyone has a right to sin. Okay, God gave them that right. Alright? Everybody with me on that?
Oh, yeah.
And the day that you do, you will surely die. God gave us a choice on whether to sin or not. So everyone has a right to sin today. Now, they will answer to it, to God, for the choices that they make. But it is their right that God gave them to choose to sin. Now, to make sure they understood that it was against God's law that they're living in sin as long as they practice that, okay, and that they can be forgiven, all right? Beyond that, I turned it over to God and said, look, you're going to have to deal with God with that, okay? One day you're going to face God, and you'll have to answer to Him for that. They don't have to answer to me any more than anybody else does for the sins that they commit.
Amen.
You say?
Well, some people just accept it.
Oh, I wouldn't accept it. I wouldn't accept it if that's what you're talking about. No. I would go and follow what God tells us in terms of a person who is continuing to live in sin, in any sin. That if it were one of my children, then I would, have to put them out of my house if they were still living in my home. Do what now?
Don't associate.
Yeah. As difficult as it would be. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to condone their sin. Okay?
Amen.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will continue on next week.